The first lesson for today is from the second chapter of Joel. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. So I will restore you to the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army, which I sent among you, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. The second lesson for today is from the 18th chapter of Luke. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
First, I want to thank you for welcoming me here this morning at First Presbyterian. When your pastor emailed me and asked me about coming today, she told me that you would be glad to see me. And she did not, she told the truth. We're going to be conversating this morning about the two men who went up to the temple to pray, and I call this just two prayers. I'm a Christian that have always struggled with my prayer life. I find prayer very difficult. I don't know if anyone else do. Because all the literature tells us that we're actually having a conversation, but so many times, we're having a conversation with God, but so many times you feel like you're talking to yourself or you're talking to the air. So Jesus here this morning in our reading is teaching on prayer. As a matter of fact, that's one of the first things Jesus did when he came. Not only did he teach us on prayer, but he also taught us in prayer to call God the Father. This God had never been called the Father before until Jesus came and started teaching that right there when he taught about the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and start teaching us about prayer. So for our background here this morning, Jesus had just finished telling his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He taught them the value of persevering in prayer because God brings about justice for his chosen one. So the parable this morning of the Pharisee and the tax collector, which we will be looking at this morning, is linked to Jesus' parable about persevering in prayer. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector deals with the attitude in which we offer up our prayers. And it starts by saying that to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Jesus, in this parable, is directing it specifically to those in the crowd around him who were self-assured, convinced of their own moral purity and ethical standing. They were so very proud of their perceived moral standing before God and consequently looked down their noses at most everyone else. Two men went up to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a tax collector. Now we're going to talk for a minute about this Pharisee. A Pharisee was a member of the Jewish faith. Their job was to be on the up and up about divine things and to keep those divine things moving forward. They were laymen who were zealous about keeping the scriptures, the oral law and tradition pure. They were the pious churchgoers of their time who attended every Bible study, every scripture study, rigorously, and they sought to obey every law of the faith. Pharisees knew how to pray. In other words, they were so sure that they had it all together when it came to this thing about what the law had taught in the Old Testament. In fact, they applied themselves to prayer. The Pharisees were highly respected and looked up to in their community. They were the deacons, if you will, and elders of the church, so to speak. They were the best of the best of the Jewish citizenry. It is important to understand that Jesus is speaking of one specific Pharisee, not the whole group. And by contrast, a tax collector was at the other end of the spectrum. He would have been perceived by the community as the worst of the Jewish citizenry. A tax collector in scripture were Jews who worked for the oppressor, for the ruling Roman authorities. They were considered extortioners and traitors. They were notorious for collecting more taxes than was owed and pocketing the difference. They were traitors because they served the oppressor. They served Rome. Again, Jesus is speaking of one specific tax collector and not the whole bunch. My point is, as the parable opens, we must view the Pharisee in the way that the culture of his day viewed him, which was positively. He's the hero. The tax collector is to be viewed negatively. He's the bad guy, if you will. So these two guys go up to pray. The scripture, as she read, the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. I imagine that this Pharisee's prayer went something like this. Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when I see how rotten others are compared to me. Thank you, Lord. I'm not like those people. You know, people who steal, people who do bad things, or even like that guy over there who works for the IRS of Rome. Yes, Lord, I'm one of the very, very few who does more than even the law requires. You know, Lord, I give a tenth of all I get to the temple while everyone else just gives a tenth of their income. I also go without food and water. I fast from sunrise to sunset, and I do that twice a week, Lord, even though the law requires we only do it once. Yes, God, thank you that I'm not like those other people. But the scripture said the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. He beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Peterson in the Message said that the tax collector slumped in the shadows, way at the back of the temple out of sight. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven, as was common among those who came to pray, but rather he pounded his chest over and over, crying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Two different prayers, two different outcomes. The tax collector, the Bible said, went from the temple justified before God, forgiven. He received a new right standing before God. He had received the blessing that King David spoke of in Psalms 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. The Pharisee went home not having been justified before God. He went home with nothing. He went home still steeped in his own pride. Why the two different outcomes? Let's take a look at the attitude, the spirit with which each prayed. The Pharisee considered himself morally and religiously superior to others. He praised himself and condemned his neighbor. He exalted his own religious practices. He trusted in his own good deeds to make him acceptable to God. He even acted as if God owed him something for his goodness. He failed to see his sin and therefore his need for God. Another way to say that his sin had him blinded to the fact that he could not see God. He lacked a humble and a contrite, repentant heart. How sad that this Pharisee, as zealous for the faith and well-versed in the scriptures, had somehow overlooked passages like, because at the time of the Pharisees, they only had the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, which he probably knew from Genesis all the way through Deuteronomy. But some kind of way, somehow, he failed to see passages, or he overlooked passages like Isaiah 64 and 6, which clearly says all of us have become like one who is unclean. All of our righteous acts are like filthy rags. Who can say, I have kept my heart pure, I'm clean, or without sin? You see, the tax collector, on the other hand, recognized the holiness of God. He knew the great gulf that lay between himself and God. He stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. He recognized the sin in his life. He didn't hide it or deny it. And if there's ever anything in your life that you feel that you need to overcome or you want to overcome, I suggest to you this morning the first thing to do is have the courage to name it. Name it. Place it up on the table, if you will. This tax collector didn't hide or deny whatever his sin was. He recognized his need for God's grace, and he pleaded for it. He beat his chest and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. We must all consider the spirit or the attitude we bring to prayer. What is the attitude of our hearts when we speak to God? The Bible says God gives grace to the humble. He also tells us in James 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. God told the prophet Isaiah in another place there in chapter 57, I refresh the humble and give new courage to those with repentant hearts. And in our text today, Jesus' own words tells us, for everyone who exalts himself will be humble, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So then, how do we pray? What does the Lord's parable teach us this morning about prayer? I believe that it's teaching us that the attitude and the spirit with which we come to pray are important. So what is the attitude of our heart when coming before God? How should it be? Well, what I like about God's word is that you can always ask the questions and find the answers in his word. Ephesians 2:8 tells us that we are to pray with the spirit of humility, recognizing that we are sinners saved by grace. We are to pray knowing that even the privilege, we are to pray knowing that even the privilege to come before God is a gift. Ephesians 3:12. God will welcome a contrite prayer, a prayer which is honest about our spiritual state and our need for God's grace. We are to pray knowing that it is to an absolutely holy God that we speak. We are to pray knowing that God will hear a plea for mercy, help us and forgive us no matter who we are or what it is that we have done. My prayer life got a lot better when I started focusing on God and recognizing that it is a privilege, that divinity, that God that made the universe high and holy would invite the likes of me to come and to conversate with him, to pray with him, to talk with him. So this morning, the prayer of the tax collector, we are to pray the prayer of the tax collector, for he went home right before God. Amen.